You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded every Sunday at the 11 o'clock Mass at our new church located at 411 Palmer Road in Columbia, Illinois. For more information about Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer. And now, enjoy the podcast.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. One of our basic human tendencies that we cannot get away from is whenever a group of people come together, we tend, at least mentally and sometimes in other ways, to sort ourselves out in all kinds of ways, from the oldest to the youngest, from the richest to the poorest, the smartest to the not so smart, and right on down the line. We have endless ways of sorting each other out. And we do this by big corporations and right on down to our individual lives. Sometimes we sort by basic facts, and sometimes we resort to prejudices and feelings to sort people out. There's no end to the ways we sort by age, gender, race, income, even your credit scores. Some people know how to sort that out. And what you purchase. I notice on my computer, after I make a purchase of a certain book, usually it's not only a day or two, and they start recommending more books along the same line. Computers have made this easier, but it's been going on ever since people have been in groups together. And so it is no secret then that religion is subject to this same tendency to sort people out. To use the language that was put to Jesus in the gospel today, and which is common language, "Lord," they said to him, "will only a few people be saved?" Somehow or another, that question has kind of grabbed people's attention down through all these centuries. Who is saved and who is not saved? And after looking at the scriptures for just a moment, I want to come back to that this evening, because I'm sure you have been accosted by people sometimes who say, "Are you saved?" And sometimes we as Catholics don't even know how to answer that question. But the question was put to Jesus, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" Now, Jesus could have given the blunt answer and said, "It's none of your business," which probably is what I would have said had I been in his spot. But Jesus goes to be a little bit more patient, and he is teaching the people of his time, who were all Jewish, that his kingdom was not going to be limited just to the Jews. And as a matter of fact, we find that theme running all through the Bible over and over again, even in the Old Testament, where the prophets have said that people are going to come from all nations, the north, the south, and the east, and the west, and all were going to be members of the kingdom of God. And yet they persisted in their narrow-minded little sectarian viewpoint that the Jewish people were God's chosen people and everybody else was going to you-know-where in a bushel basket. And so this tendency to sort people out, who is saved and who is not saved. The scriptures are clear that God's kingdom is intended for everyone. There are no restrictions on race, nationality, economic level. Any way we slice up the human population, God's kingdom is all-inclusive. And yet, our history tells us that we give in to this basic human tendency to decide who is saved, who is not saved, who is in and who is out, us and them. And it's such an ingrained thing in our human nature that I think it takes a little bit of discipline, as that one reading said, to get beyond that in our thinking and in our actions. So let's revisit this question a little bit. I don't know about you, but especially when we are in mixed company, not just Catholics, but when we have people of other religious denominations, I'm almost sure that whether it's in your neighborhood or in your workplace or someplace, somebody has come up and said, "Are you saved?" And then there are related questions. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? You all know the routine. And I think that sometimes we as Catholics, we don't want to hurt somebody's feelings, but we don't exactly know how to respond to that. And so I want to just give you a couple little tips this evening. First of all, most people, when they ask us that question, let's face it, they are sincere. They might not be tactful or anything like that. They might be very pushy and trying to convert you to their way of Christianity. But when people say, "Are you saved? Have you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior?" we've got to say something. And we can't, like I would have said had I been in Jesus' place, can't just say, "Well, it's none of your business." We've got to come up with an answer, but sometimes we don't know what to say. So, first of all, we should be polite and charitable, even sometimes if the other side is not. But we need to be able to make the point that in our Christian faith, being saved is not something that happens at one distinct point in your life. Like you go to a revival or a tent meeting or something like that, and all of a sudden you get overwhelmed with emotion, and you say, "Now I'm saved." Our faith teaches us that faith develops slowly and gradually over the space of an entire lifetime. And so I think it's more accurate to say that, yes, we accept Jesus, we accept our commitment to faith, but we continually must reaffirm that over and over again. So I always try to say to somebody, "Well, I want to be saved, but I have to make that decision every single day over and over again." It doesn't just happen at one time when you're emotional. It's something that you have to reaffirm and revisit every single day of your lives. And I also find it helpful to pointing out to people of other faiths sometimes that we have to say we believe in free will. Just as I can make a commitment to keep God's commandments, as long as I am drawing breath in this world, by my free will, I can also reject that commitment. And so I freely choose to follow the gospel of Jesus Christ, but sometimes by sin, I reject that, and then I have to repent. So am I saved? Well, I'm working on it, is what I usually say to people. I'm not all the way there, but I'm trying very hard. And then lastly, I always point out to people, especially of other faiths, that while it is true I accept Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, to use their language, in the Catholic tradition, salvation is also a communal event. We don't work it out just me and Jesus privately someplace. We work it out in community, in a parish community, in our families, and so it has this social dimension to it as well. And sometimes people are not ready to accept that because they still insist on sorting people out into saved and unsaved, who is worthy and who is unworthy. And so it helps to be able to know how to respond to people in charity, but also in truth. And we should also check ourselves while we're at it and avoid passing judgment and sorting people out, deciding as if we were in God's place who is worthy and who is not worthy of admittance to the kingdom of God. And if we're going to sin in any kind of way, let it be on the side of being too inclusive rather than putting ourselves in that judgmental position of deciding who is in and who is out. As Jesus said when he was teaching these people, he said, when we get to the kingdom of God, we're going to be quite surprised to see who's there. And he was telling his hearers at his time that you're going to see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all your Jewish heroes sitting there in the kingdom of God, and people from all over God's green earth, but you yourselves might not be in there. So we got to be so careful that we do not pass judgment and decide who is worthy and who is not worthy. The only sorting that is going to count when you get right down to the bottom line is the sorting at the last judgment. You know the image of the sheep and the goats and all of that, of the final judgment. That's God's job. It is not our job. But we can practice for it. And I think that's what the Eucharist is about. At the Eucharist, we say that we are all equal. Our songs that we use invariably talk about that. And you know yourself, give a fancy dinner, it's pretty important who sits at the head table and who's ranked where. I think Eucharist is a good chance for us to practice that in God's kingdom, we are all at the head table. Nobody is unworthy, and God welcomes all of his children. So may God give us a blessing as we learn this lesson, to be glad that we are indeed working on salvation and that we must bring everybody along with us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.